Hi, this is Clay Inferno, and you're listening to I Think This Is Great. I Think This Is Great! Exclamation point with Clay Inferno is the full name of the show. And it's an interview podcast about people doing and being their best. We talk about doing compassionate work, making books, working on teams, getting over hurdles, doing great things, even when the chips are down and you just, frankly, don't want to do anything. It's a little bit of a tech podcast, but mostly this is a interview show where I talk to some of the most fascinating people that have come into my life. And hopefully I get to meet some new friends along the way. So welcome, and please let me know what you think of I Think This Is Great with Clay Inferno by joining the conversation on social media with the hashtag ITTIGpod, or you can reach out to me directly at CLAYNFERNO, Clay Inferno. There is no I in that Inferno, at Clay Inferno, clayinferno.com, but you are here at ITThinkThisIsGreat.com. So do me a favor, once the show launches, please go on to iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts and leave me a rating, and please spread the word. I want people to know about the show and the amazing people that I have on it. So we will see you on the internet.
This is LJ, and I think this is great.
Hey, this is Luke O'Neill, and you're listening to I Think This Is Great.
I think your business is great, and I think you're listening to Clay Fernal. Wait, that was backwards.
I'm going to use that one.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and On the Street proudly present No Borders, No Race, The World's J-Pop and Alternative Art Squad.
Bastards and Winches, welcome to episode 237 of No Borders, No Race, your J-Pop and Alternative Hotspot. I am your King Baby Doc, Kevin Borgo. Thank you once again for tuning in. And yes, things are back to normal. Thank you all for listening to both the Japanese and World Albums Best of 2019 shows, as well as our 2019 Pre-Wikis Annie Song Special. Now, we can not only get 2020 going, but also the new decade. I want smooth sailing for the 2020s, damn it, because let's face it, the second half of the 2010s kinda sucked. But I think we may have some clear skies coming our way. On today's episode, we look at Netflix's problem when it comes to treating anime. We also see a new cartoon that pays a pretty damn poor homage to an 80s classic. Plus, Monster Girl brothels? Whatever could that be? But first, as always, something for my Japanese listeners. Nihon no minasan, mou ichido nihongo yoyaku no mou hitotsu no edition ga yatte kimashita. No Borders No Race の最後のエピソードで Wicked Anime Member の AFLM と私は2019年のベストアルバムのカウントをしました。世界中のたくさんの素晴らしいミュージシャンがリストを作りました。ボストンのバッドレディス、ケンタッキーのスタージョ・シンプソン、そして日本のベビーメタル、フィンランドのバトビースも含まれました。しかし最高の作品はヨーロッパの驚異的なメタルシーンを見るだけです。 AFLM はスウェーデンのパワーメタルバンド Twilight Force の素晴らしいレコード Dawn of the Dragon Star を選びました。私は馴染みのあるリンダマンの FNM をトップアルバムスポットにしました。しかし今年のピックアルバムは私たち二人ともメタル歴史愛好家であるサバトンによる素晴らしい第一次世界大戦をテーマにしたレコード The Great War を選びました。全体として世界中の音楽にとって素晴らしい年でした。 And a special thank you to my Japanese teacher Hattori Sensei for helping to translate that, as well as my friend Haruna Haru for fixing some aspects of the script. Incidentally, she says I sound a wee bit too passionate when I read this script, and looks forward to when I can say it a little bit more lazily, and she means that in a good way. Apparently, I'm still using somewhat of an American accent when speaking Japanese, which I was trying not to. She recommended that I watch some Japanese films to practice my dialect more, as just watching anime isn't the best way. She calls the way anime voice actors speak as anime goe. It's how Japanese people do cartoon voices, in a way American voice actors do cartoony ones for kids shows and the like. I found that pretty interesting. Initially, I felt Japanese voice acting felt more natural and down-to-earth, but it appears that what the seiyu in Japan do is somewhat of the equivalent of what we do in English-speaking territories. You learn something new every day, I guess. Anywho, let's get today's episode rolling. Remember, as always, if you like what you hear and would like to support these artists, you can find all their music on CD Japan, Yes Asia, Amazon, Spotify, Apple Music, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record stores. And I want to skank into the new decade and help make it my mission to bring ska back to the mainstream music world in the 2020s. And to do that, we need a little Tokyo Ska Paradise Orchestra from last year's brilliant album, Tokyo Scholar Collage, number 2 on my top Japanese albums of 2019 list. This is a how-to on dancing to this awesome genre music. Featuring Kiyosaku and Takuma, here are Tokyo Ska Paradise Orchestra with Jamaica Ska.
We'll be right back.
Itsumuni from last year's New Moon album, an honorable mention from my Japanese Albums of the Year list, if I'm not mistaken. On March 4th, the duo will be releasing a new live Blu-ray called Full Moon Live Special, which was recorded on October 6th of last year at Cults Kawasaki. There is an ever-growing concern with the way Netflix handles its anime licensing. We all know that Netflix thrives on the binging model for all of their series, and to its credit, it's worked to help thrive the popularity of such series as House of Cards, Orange is the New Black, and most recently, The Witcher. But when it comes to the way the Japanese animation market is handled, well, it's a bit more challenging to bring it to the same level of popularity as the Western-created series. Personally, I believe anime thrives on weekly content, as it helps to build momentum up for a show and its popularity. It's why you see My Hero Academia trending all the time on Twitter, and why a Netflix-licensed show like The Seven Deadly Sins isn't. This thought came to mind while I was watching the second season of Carol and Tuesday, specifically the second half of the series. Here's a show that was made to be experienced week after week. It lives by building up anticipation as to what the duo, Angela, and the other characters seek to accomplish in the show. The songs are amazing, the stories are touching, and it's made to appeal to everyone, not just Japanese viewers. Had the show aired on a weekly basis, it could have easily become a global phenomenon. But alas, Carol and Tuesday was stuck in what everyone calls Netflix jail. Despite each episode going up right away on Netflix in Japan, the rest of the world had to wait nearly half a year for half of the series to come out. Netflix does it because it wants to make sure it's dubbed in the various language that it markets to. English, French, German, Spanish, and so forth. And it's fine if they want to do that, but Netflix can just easily add in future dubs and subtitles on a later date if they wanted to. However, Netflix feels that the Western market wants to binge everything. And for the most part, they're right. It's nice to have all of the episodes of a show right there at your disposal so you can view it all in one go if you wanted to. I did that with Living With Yourself, Castlevania, and even anime like Teasing Master Takagi-san Season 2 and Devilman Crybaby, a Netflix exclusive, by the way. But watching anime feels different than watching regular TV. Anime lives on having the next episode being anticipated by its audience, which is why you see so many people talking passionately about it on social media. We can't wait for the next one to drop, and when the day comes for a new episode, our level of excitement is at a peak. That level of hype for a new anime adventure cannot be replicated via the binge method. It's like buying a cake that's supposed to last you for a week or two and then shoving it all down your throat in 2 hours. You're happy that you got to eat the cake, but you're sad inside because you couldn't savor it. That's what watching anime on Netflix is like. Too much of a sweet thing at once with no means of savoring every emotion and feeling that the show conjured up. So, what can Netflix do to fix this problem? Well, that's easy. Same-day streams. It's not rocket science, after all. But with Netflix loving to make sure everything is dubbed or subbed in a way, there's a bit of a hurdle with doing their own means of same-day streaming. That's why I came up with the ultimate solution. Now, hear me out. What Netflix should do is they should dub and sub every episode in the languages that they want before the episodes actually start airing in Japan. It takes 6 weeks to make a single anime episode for the most part, and with simul dubs, an additional week or two to put it in another language. So the Japanese producers, who work with Netflix, should just wait to air their stuff on TV until it's all been properly dubbed. This way, series can pop onto Netflix each week as the episodes air in Japan. No wait, no need to pirate, and no having to deal with angry fans that got to wait an additional 3 to 6 months for a series to arrive on Netflix. Their so-called jail will be considered a thing of the past, and every anime fan can enjoy watching their anticipated series without the pain of missing out on what's going on Japanese television. So, you delay the release, you dub it all in their respective languages, and then launch it simultaneously all across the world. That's how you fix Netflix's biggest problem. Maybe it'll happen in the future, maybe it won't. Whatever the case may be, Netflix needs to realize that anime fans can't get the same satisfaction from a binge as they do with a weekly premiere. Considering that they did this in Canada with Violet Evergarden, it's apparent that this model is doable. Ergo, practice that method more and expand to the rest of the world, and everyone wins. It is that damn simple. Here's a new track from The Black Watch, who will be releasing their 18th album, Brilliant Failures, later this year. This is a sneak peek of what's to come, and it's called Crying All the Time.
Culture-saturated world, what's a nerd to do?
Hang out with your good pals on Nerdy Show, that's what.
Our flagship podcast is a weekly celebration of the multifaceted D20 that is the modern nerd.
When we're not devising horrors that combine VR and spiders or taste-testing weird food, we're discussing the latest geek happenings, digging into our deepest nerd niches,
or interviewing a celebrity or two.
Head to nerdyshow.com or find us on iTunes and experience a multiverse of awesomeness.
Oh, にノイズで走ってベッドシーン歪むけど都合よくした記憶をバーチャルに楽しめる世界抜けられない乾きまくって触りたくって壁にぶつかる映像だってあやかしだって君で欲しいよゴミが腐って涙積もって荒れた部屋でも黒いゴールを外さない限り
Guitar God Tomoyasu Hotte with Black Goggles off of last year's Guitar Rhythm 6, a fine collection of solo and collaborative works, especially with the likes of Cornelius and Man with a Mission. Right now we're going to play a little Machiko, who just recently finished playing the character of Hikari in Chidori RSC, though in Japan that show is known as Rifle is Beautiful. I like that title better, to be honest. No idea why Sentai Filmworks changed it to the other one. Whatever, still a fun little anime. From her recent record, Machibito Sagashi, this is Machiko with Gimme Love.
Cheese! sexy Cuban. She doesn't have a thing to do. She comes to my house and let's keep up between me and you. She takes off her clothes, she likes to tell this boy what to do. Oh, let's keep up between me and you, okay? She says, oh, come on, boy. And she tired of talking about sex as a little girl. What do you really expect? And then she pledges her allegiance to the United States and me. She says, you're such a little bitch to me. Go ahead, kiss, head, kiss, turn the thing around. Let's play a game when you hear me make a sound. Go quicker, faster, pretend I'm goddamn bound. Oh, how I love to hear that sound. Milkshake, milkshake, I love to feel you sweat. We don't need to go to the pool if you want me to make you wet. Can I keep a secret? Cause the best little secrets I catch. You're my best little secret yet. Well, Kit Kat, we'll give you the kick. She said, let me feel you loving me, come on, make it stick. I'll tell you the best of you, little baby, she's a we'll see to sugar fit. Well, tick tock, oh baby, forget the clock. We don't have to do a thing and you know I love your baby talk. Just make sure that you will close the doors and turn the lock. So push the best aside. Well, milkshake, milkshake, I love the feeling sweat. Best little secrets I catch. You're my best little secret, yeah.
Was Louis the 14th with Pledge of Allegiance, a live studio version from their Rolling Stone original EP. You can find the original on one of my all-time favorite albums, The Best Little Secrets Are Kept. And I'm very excited because for the first time in 12 years, Louis the 14th will be unleashing a brand new album. And I'm hoping it's filled with some kick-ass sex, drugs, and rock and roll like Best Little Secrets was. And speaking of sexy things and the like, this past week, I posted my review of the anime Seitokai Yakuin Domo, a sex comedy that relies primarily on clever wordplay and jabs. It's a great way to do this sort of raunchy comedy, one that takes more from something like the Dante and Randall conversations in Clerks instead of the physical sex humor one would see in something like American Pie. Not that the latter is bad, of course, as I love most of the American Pie franchise. Mind you, the directed DVD films can go straight to hell, but the theatrical ones were always fun and unpredictable. Though it does have some flaws that I can't unsee due to the current climate and whatnot. Anyways, what I'm trying to get to, and this is very important, is the concept of monster girl brothels. And right now you're probably thinking, where the fuck did this come from? Let me explain. There's a new anime series that's now airing that's taking the concept of sex comedies to a new, different level. That show is called Interspecies Reviewers, which is currently streaming on Funimation. The series is literally about the physical aspects of sex humor, and holy shit, does it go down routes that would be hentai exclusive. So Interspecies Reviewers is about two adventurers named Stunk and Zell, and along the way they pick up an angel named Crimval to be a part of their escapades. When they're not fighting monsters, they're doing physical research on the various monster girl brothels. On top of that, they write reviews about their trice and post them at the walls in the pubs for everyone to read, and they get some money from it if it's popular enough. And that is the entire premise of the show. This is the anime that 18 plus doujins of Monster Musume was born out of. It's hardcore raunchy as hell, and even when it's censored, it finds ways to demonstrate the debauchery that these characters set out to do. But in some spectacular way, it's kind of clever in how they do it. It goes the big mouth route, where they make it as filthy as possible, but then somehow sprinkle in something that softens the shock value. Mind you, it's still shocking to watch, and you probably shouldn't watch it in a public place with the Funimation app, but its humor is what keeps it from becoming this completely grossed out piece of animated filth. And the cleverness comes in the form of the review part of the episode. This far, you don't see too much of the sexual aspects of interspecies reviewers, but it shoehorns something like a dwarf having no fun with an octopus girl as he fears getting his skin ripped off by her. Now, the real fun is the debates that these characters have about their experiences. The first episode has Stunk courting like this 500-year-old elf girl, and Zell with this 60-something human prostitute. Zell, being an elf himself, is disgusted that Stunk has done it with someone who could be his great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother. Whereas Stunk is weirded out by Zell choosing someone who is old and wrinkly. Zell's reasoning, there are no humans older than 100, so everyone is younger than him. I know that I shouldn't be explaining the joke, as that usually kills said joke. But trust me when I say that it's presented very hilariously, especially when others share their opinions of both the old human call girl and the very old yet youthful-looking elf maiden. And even when Krimval, an angel who's blessed with both sets of sexy fun time organs, joins in on the charade, it just boosts the humor all the more higher. Currently, only 2 episodes have aired, but with its hilarious script, silly tone, and a voice cast that sounds like they're having a blast recording, Interspecies Reviewers is shaping up to being one of this winter's most enjoyable anime. For both good and bad reasons, mind you. Give it a chance, so long as, you know, there aren't any little ones running around as you put it on TV or your computer. And prepare yourself for probably the best anime theme song of 2020. It's only January, but we have a clear winner already. Shit, I just realized I'm going to be talking about this in my next Nihongo Yoyaku on the next episode that my teacher and friends helped me with translating. Fuck. This'll be interesting. I wonder if there's a way I can write around the more naughtier aspects of that segment. I gotta do some brainstorming regarding that. While I do that, let's listen to some more music. Here's a band that goes by the name Tsukudikoi, which is another way of saying stupid in Japanese. There are also these weird symbols in between their name, and I'm not exactly certain if they mean anything or not. Anyways, this is a number from their recent EP, Namida Kako Shite Shiri Kazusasu, and it's called Kino Famiresu de Furareta.
Kino Famiresu de Furareta. Yatokia umi to kirei na yakei no mieru kouen de kokuhaku sareta no ni tonde naki nagara kaeta. Densha ni notte mo na o naita. Yureru densha no oto sae mo kanashimi ni michiteita. Bed to ni taore komu. Me ga samerutoki ni. た方はどこまでも本当に惨めよね。
Hi everybody, this is Phil the Issues Guy from issuesprogram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube, Phil's recap and review, or check out issuesprogram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there. If you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out issuesprogram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time. We'll be right back.
dazzling Ringo Sheena with Correct City, which you can find on her new compilation collection, Apple of Universal Gravity. Ringo has also released a Blu-ray collection of all of her music videos, and I shit you not, the title of that collection is The Sexual Healing Total Orgasm Experience. Well done, Ringo. Never change. Coming up, we have a band called Beat Hotel, who have been a group that's been 30 years in the making. With the exception of some singles and demos, Beat Hotel has yet to unleash a full release. Now, that time has finally come, with their self-titled EP arriving on January 30th. Here's a taste from that record called Bury It Deep.
Reason. It's all or nothing till I make it. samurai. We can go, we can go like a samurai. We can go, we can go like a samurai. Zamalo, like a 45. Whoa, do it like a samurai.
From last year's No Sleep Till Tokyo. And it's been announced already that this year, the Samurai guitarist will be releasing two new solo albums. So it's going to be a very busy year for Miyavi, hoping one of them will be another Samurai Session record. About a year and a half ago, Cartoon Network announced a brand new Thundercat show. And people were excited, as the original is still beloved by many. But then a teaser trailer dropped, showcasing a drastic change in both tone and animation. The series, Thundercats Roar, seemed to take more of a similar route to Teen Titans Go, with the humor being more upfront than anything else. Naturally, I was a bit turned off, but I still wanted to give it a chance. Well, this past week, that chance arrived when the first two episodes popped up on the Cartoon Network app. And it took nearly 5 minutes of watching the first episode for me to shut down the app and never lay my eyes on the show ever again. Thundercats Roar is an abomination to the franchise that it's based off of. I am okay with a show that takes a classic and brings it down a different route, so long as it results in a good product. Like, I may have my issues with Teen Titans Go, but I will say that the end product of that is, at the very least, entertaining. What Cartoon Network has done with Thundercats Roar is cringe. The animation looks unfinished, the character designs are wonky, and the way the characters are treated is surely making show creator Ted Wolf spin in his grave. Worst of all is the voice acting, which is some amazing people like One Punch Man's Max Middleton as Lionel, Kill la Kill's Patrick Seitz as Tigra, and Berserk's Erica Lindbeck as Chitara. But they all sound like they're hopped up on sugar, making their performances sound all over the place. It's just awful. Okay, a little confession, because some of you may be thinking that I am a fair weather fan of Thundercats. And you'd be somewhat right about it. I did watch it as a little kid in the 80s and 90s, but I wasn't in love with it like I was with, say, G.I. Joe and He-Man or Slimer and the Real Ghostbusters. Or even like Heathcliff, which is another cat-based show that I think needs a bit of a revival, so long as they do it the right way. But here's the thing. I do know someone who adores Thundercats. Someone who maybe has a much bigger say in the series than I do. So, here to give his take on Thundercats Roar is our buddy from Wicked Anime and Solarian Sun creator, AFLM. Take it away, Andrew.
Thanks, Evan. So I watched Thundercats Roar, and it was pretty terrible. Not that I expected anything more from it, but I was actually a little shocked at the quality we were given. The animation quality was so poor that I've seen independent YouTubers with more animation skill than an entire multi-million dollar studio. I mean, if we were made to wait 2 years since its initial announcement trailer for quality that low, I would have at least expected the following weekend, not 2 friggin' years. Yikes. And before any smart Twitter boys want to come along and tell me that I should keep my mouth shut because I obviously wasn't the target audience for this, let me shove a cupcake in your mouth for just a moment to explain exactly why that is a dumb thing to say, and I'm not surprised you breathe the farts of Twitter. A show with an art style that is so recycled that Steven Universe looks semi-palatable, you could have thrown any unique IP on top of it and called it a day, and fans wouldn't even batted an eye towards it. But you didn't. You chose Thundercats, a show with a nerdy cult following. Heck, you didn't even make a new-looking type of Thundercats show, with new cartoonish designs. They're basically just the designs right out of the 80s. So it's really not all that surprising that longtime fans may have garnered some sort of interest in the new Thundercats show. And with it being a parody show, little kids won't even understand what the show is referencing to begin with. If anything positive comes out of it from them watching it, maybe they'll discover the 80s Thundercats, or even the 2011 Thundercats, and then realize what a massive dumpster fire Roar really is in the face of the fans. The writing is overly childish, leaving Lion-O a brainless moron, and leaving us with a total lack of a main character. And the other characters only exist to make the story move along in some sort of direction because Lion-O only makes things happen by coincidence, which is a pretty big writing sin. And yes, I dare say overly childish for a kid's show, because I hate the mentality of, oh, kids are dumb, they won't know the difference. That's just such a lazy way to write a kid's show. Most likely adults are going to be enjoying kid's shows with their kids. So it has to have some sort of content that adults are gonna like too. And speaking of the content, for a comedy show, within the entire half hour, I legitimately only laughed twice. I counted. Even a show like Teen Titans Go, a show that seems to be universally hated by the same people calling the Roar fans man-children for hating on it, makes me laugh an entire half hour because it's an actual parody of the material it's mocking. This is honestly less than surprising, though, when you have a California man-bun at the helm who definitely spent his high school days scrolling through Tumblr and Twitter. I would normally stay away from the cheap name-calling, but as a guy who claims that he's a real Thundercats fan in his interview, he shows a lack of respect for the material that was handed to him. Thundercats 2011 was a real love letter, but the studio deemed it too expensive even though it had millions of views, but the lack of toy sales, oh no! In the era of make-it-cheap animation amongst big studios, people are sure ready to defend something of terrible quality rather quickly because they want to make sure they control the narrative surrounding it. I really think all the backlash that the show is receiving ultimately springs from the idea that studios aren't willing to pay out the big bucks for good animation, settle for dumpster levels of comedy, and cancel shows with real heart, while Tumblr artists run amok making bean-mouthed CalArts nightmares. Thundercats has always been a show from the past that struggles to get a greater fan following, with a lack of merchandise and overall content. Yet the fans who love it truly love it and won't just settle for anything Thundercats. Again, the same reason Teen Titans Go is so looked down upon by everybody else. Grow a spine, animation fans. Don't settle for the trash. Demand episodes that cost $500,000 apiece if you really want to get something as great as Thundercats 2011, and decent storytelling with people who truly care and love writing. Now go look at a real love letter to Thundercats and read my comic for free at SolariansSun.com. Back to you, Evan. Just embarrassing.
Jesus Christ, man. No holding back, huh, AFLM? But yeah, those are pretty much my exact thoughts. Granted, there are some CalArts students with talent, but studios just aren't hiring them. So please, avoid Thundercats Roar. Let it die. If you want something to watch with your kids and it has cats in it, then view, like, Chief Sweet Adventure on Amazon Prime. At least you'll feel good afterwards watching that instead of this diarrhea-inducing clusterfuck that is Thundercats Roar. And go support AFLM's Solarian Sun on Patreon. Do it! Up next, we've got the Let's Goes, whose bassist Sakura is the daughter of the one and only Guitar Wolf. And I know what you're thinking. Seiji has a kid? Yep. Anyways, from their album Hey Bon Cherry, here are the Let's Goes with I Like Your Band. I like your band.
Robert, why should people listen to another retro gaming podcast?
You mean our cast, David? We do have to keep this short, you know.
Yes, well, I guess we should start with the fact we celebrate old school video games.
And we have awesome guests and game giveaways. Don't forget that.
Plus our game show and your favorite segment, Random Select.
Don't remind me. Are we done yet?
Listen to our cast, another retro gaming podcast, part of RetroZap.com.
Finally, back to my beer.
In the summertime, it's hot outside, streets are bare, there's no one there, and the valley's wide. It comes a time, two hearts aglow, live together, run forever on the open road. They gotta go, 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 they gotta go.
Year's Let's Rock album, and I really want to make it clear that I actually did enjoy that record. It may sound like I made it sound unlistenable when I was comparing it to Sturgill Simpson's Sad and Fury, but in all honesty, it's still a good album. Don't mince my words, please. Even though it's sort of an honorable mention, do check it out. It's a great album. Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, or if you're in a band and want to be featured on our show, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can follow me on Twitter, on Instagram, on Twitch, and on the J-Pop, Video Games, and Anime Amino pages at KingBabyDuckESH, and on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com. Like us on Facebook.com/Boston Bash Brigade and Facebook.com/Land of Esh. And don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Esh, including The Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, and Smashed Rook. Promotional consideration provided for this week's tracks from The Black Watch and Beat Hotel, made possible by Shameless Promotion PR. Thank you as always for your assistance, and stay tuned. Shameless Tuesdays will be back very shortly. And a very special thank you to Mike Rogers from Mike Rogers Show for sending us the Let's Goes and Suko Decoy for us to play too. Some terrific finds there. Another thank you to AFLM for taking part in the Thundercats Roar segment. Be sure to support his Patreon for his webcomic Solarian Sun. A link will be in the episode post on the B3 page. And for more information on the Cultural Exchange Initiative, please check out their website at ceinitiative.org. They're slowly getting things prepped for their next big venture. I'm happy to announce that I will be attending PAX East in February. This is my 11th PAX East, been going ever since it started 10 years ago at the Heinz Convention Center. Now it's literally one of the biggest gaming conventions in America over at the Boston Convention and Exhibition Center. I'm not sure what's going down just yet, but considering that it's going to be the 10th anniversary of PAX East, something big has to happen. Here's hoping. We're going to end the show with a good skip and a hop in the form of M-Flow, whose Kyo record was number 3 on my top Japanese albums list of 2019. This is No Question, and until next time, this is your King Baby Duck, reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps.
Just turn the lights down low, hadaka ni natte, ne shizuka ni sagashite mite, you gotta learn, learn, learn. Man up, you gotta learn, learn, learn. Uh-huh. 道の世界試してみたり硬い縛り壊してみたり You gotta work, work, work. Yeah, yeah, you gotta work, work, work. 越えてみなければ気づきもしない踏み出さなきゃ始まらない。そのままじゃ誤解するから行きたいどこまでも Cause you're my baby. 夢で見たいいつも会いたい。
何言おうと関係ない、ないないない。誰がどう、何言おうと関係ない、ないないない。
Shit.
guys, this is your King Baby Duck, Evan Borgo, from the Electric Sisterhood, and your host for the No Borders, No Race podcast. Each episode, we play the best, brightest, and hottest acts from Japan, America, Europe, and the rest of the world. Every song spun is but a mere taste of what you can expect of the artists heard, so if you truly loved what hit your eardrums, please be sure to support these musicians and buy their albums, EPs, and singles. Places like Amazon.com, CD Japan, Yes Asia, Bandcamp, iTunes, and even your local record store are great places to plop down some sweet moolah to let those artists know that they're doing a heck of a good job with their melodies. The more an artist gets support from listeners, the better the chance that they'll come to a venue nearest you to play the sounds that won your heart. This message is brought to you by the Boston Bash Brigade, reminding you all to support your local, national, and international artists any way you can.